sermon is called Our Past. Our Past, that's the title. And I picked this because it goes right along with the Feast of Pentecost, because when I looked back in the Old Testament and I looked at people who didn't have God's Spirit, they did not have it. I went back to Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel. Well, what was he always like that? Did his past affect him? Absolutely. But he couldn't do anything about it because he didn't have the Holy Spirit. So that's the reason I'm bringing out this subject matter here, but I did go back and look at some. Look at the church in the wilderness. They wanted to go back to Egypt. That's the way we are as humans. We always want to go back. We don't want to go back. That's our past. That's what we are. That's what we've been, we come out of, that past that we have lived in. So the title is Our Past. I'll give you one example, though, in my introduction to John chapter 12 and verse 4 through 6. John chapter 12 and verse 4 through 6. And this talks about how a person is a product of their past, some good and some bad, and some not so good and some not so bad. In John chapter 12 and verse 4 through 6, I'm talking about Judas Iscariot, and there are many other examples who could do nothing without God's Holy Spirit to overcome their past. He says in verse 4, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and again given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. He was a thief, all right? And had the money box, and he used to take what was in it, put it in the money box. So Judas was a thief. The Bible calls him that. Now, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He couldn't overcome that habit he had of stealing money from God's people. But he is a good example. I put in my notes here, his past molded and shaped him and affected his life, because he ended up killing himself, committing suicide because he had stolen the money and betrayed Christ. And what else they put down? He knew he was a thief, but made no changes. He made no changes. Again, the Holy Spirit wasn't there. The Holy Spirit wasn't there. One of the biggest reasons was he justified his past. He justified it. I hope we don't do that. I hope we don't justify our past, whatever past we come out of. But he did that, and it backfired on him. So what can we do to help remove our past? 4 points. Simple, understandable, but they are hard to do. And the first point is this. The first point is this. Do not live in the past. Do not live in the past. Do not live in the past, brethren. Do not live in the past. Well, what can we do? Focus on the future. We focus on the future. That way the past gets further and further back in our mind. We focus on our future. That's what we're doing here at the Feast of Pentecost. We're focusing ahead. The Holy Spirit, when the church was founded, like Jim Frank said yesterday, that was a good tape. It was a very good tape. Do not live in the past. That sounds so simple. Do not live in the past. And at my age, I've seen people who have done that, and they just are stuck in the past. Of course, they don't have what we have, which is the Holy Spirit, which tells us we have a future. We not only have a past, but we have a future. So do not live in the past, but focus on the future. One scripture, Philippians 3, verse 7 through 16. Philippians 3, verse 7 through 16. And again, when Paul is writing these letters, keep in mind, this is a Spirit-filled church. A Spirit-filled church. It was not just a church, a building, or any such thing. In verse 7 of Philippians 3, he says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted lost for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. So he looked back in his past and he said, the knowledge that I have far outweighs what I had, physically speaking, all things. And I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So he's picking up in his wordage in the scriptures now what he got out of his calling and what we should take out of our calling and look to the future, not to the past, because if we look back there, we're going to be disillusioned. We will be very disillusioned. Let's read on. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. He says, I may know God. I know him better because I have his righteousness. I have God's righteousness. It's not my righteousness. So he's feeding on these things that's going through his mind. He says, in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. Verse 11, if by any means I may attain to that resurrection, that's the future for you and I, is to attain to that resurrection. That's why we're here keeping the Feast of Pentecost. We want to look forward to the time ahead when all this is going to happen. When all of it's going to happen. It all started when the church was started in 31 A.D. to the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12, not that I have already attained, so he wasn't already there, or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also laid hold on me. My point is to press on. We come here, it was 2 years ago we were here. I remember because the lights just blind me. But I can still see you now, my eyes are a little better now. But I remember this place. And those 2 years went by just like that. I think it was two years. It could have been 2 or 3 years. But we have these things going on in our lives. We have these holy days come up. Don't put it out of your mind. No, I'll back up and say, I don't like the word don't. Because when I say don't, you're going to go out and do it. See? So I leave that word out of my vocabulary. But what he was looking at is a future and what God had given him. Not physically speaking. Not physically at all speaking. Let's read on. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press forward. That's my point, that we press forward to thinking about our future. About our future, pictured by these holy days that we keep on a regular basis. That we keep them in the mind. He says, I press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I hope we can grab onto that. I hope we can grab onto that and just say, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Did you look at your calling as an upward call? Well, why then are we still stuck in the past, physically speaking and spiritually sometimes? Jim Franks brought out a little bit about that yesterday. What happened? What happened back there? Did the people not see their call as an upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus? Therefore, let as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk in the same rule, let us be of the same mind. I put in my notes here, I hope none of us do that. We never grow spiritually. Never grow spiritually. In our minds without getting rid of the past. We never go. I've seen it in business. I've seen it in people I've hired for work. They're stuck in their old self and their old past. They never go. They never get any place in this world. And I'll bring out a little later how they start blaming others for their problems. We never grow spiritually. You have to remember that. Until we get rid of our past, until we say, it's gone, it, like Christ said, it's gone. Yesterday is gone. We can't bring it back. We can't bring it back. So that's the first point. Second one is this, very easy to understand. Got some scriptures that are going to put some meaning into it. Do not tolerate our past. Goes right along with the first point, which says, do not live in the past. But now I've been saying, do not tolerate our past. We all have a past. All of us sitting here, no matter where we are, who we are, we have a past. Some of it's ugly. Some of it's real ugly. Some of it's good. We don't sit and weigh those two together and say, well, now let's see, I had more of the bad than I had of the good, so this is the way I am. This is the way my past has affected me. That's the way my past has affected me. That isn't the way we should think. We should think that we were this way at one time, now we have a calling, that upward call of God. We have God's Holy Spirit. We have God's Holy Spirit. Now that tells us do not tolerate that type of behavior when we were before God called us. If I'm a little loud, I feel real good about giving this subject because it is very close to me, even this morning, to talking to one of my children about this very subject. I didn't bring it up, he did. But it's very close to all of us. Not to live in our past, and second of all, not to tolerate it. If we have something that's hidden there from our past, we should be on top of it every day and working on it. And that goes for me, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not out of the weeds. I don't care how old you are. You're never done when you're in God's church. You're just never finished. Your calling is always there, no matter how old we are. So age has nothing to do with it. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Here's a scripture about tolerating our past, and it's a good reminder. And I'm reading these scriptures that you know, I know, but I'm going to be reminders. And when I come out at it in my comments, I'll comment as we go along. In Luke chapter 17, verse 28, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out from Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he was on the housetop and his goods are in the house. Let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, do not... let him not turn back. Verse 32. Bingo. Remember Lot's wife. I think it's in Luke 9, 42, 62, somewhere in there. She turned around and she became a pillar of salt. Why put that in the Bible? Why put that to say, well, can I just look back once in a while? You know, they did it in the Old Testament. They looked back. They wanted to go back. Why can't I? But he says here, remember Lot's wife. What did she do? What did she come out of when she came out of that city, Sodom and Gomorrah? What was her life like then? We can't imagine what was going on. We have that example of these men waiting to have sex with other men, waiting for them to come out. But we can't stop there. It goes deeper than that. And yet she turns around and says to herself, I want to look back there one time. I want to look back there one time. What she was doing in a small sense is tolerating all the sin that was going on back there in Sodom. And she wanted one look before she turned around and got out of there, as Lot did. She wanted one look. You ever do that? Just one look. You want to see something one time. You want to just kind of bend the rules a little and look back there. Sure we do. Sure we do. We're human. We have human nature. Verse 33, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses it, his life will preserve it. I put in my notes, she did not realize the impact her past had on her, and I don't feel that any of us know the impact that our lives have had on us. It's terrible what our past has brought upon us and how it lingers. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you today. No way would I be standing here today. It is that important. As I put in my notes, not wrong to look back and learn from my mistakes. I'll say that is true. I've looked back, business-wise and otherwise, 50 years in business. I had to look back once in a while and see where did I make a mistake. Went broke twice, went bankrupt once completely. Where did I make a mistake? So I continually had to look back and see where did I make a mistake. But just to learn from it, just to learn from that mistake, not to look back there and say, boy, and I, once in a while, I'll be talking to Colleen and I'll say, oh, you know, that wasn't a good decision. That was not good at all. And then all of a sudden my mind will just turn around from all those years being in business and just say, no, you made the decision back there, stick with it. Don't worry about it. It's gone. It's past. I hope we can all do that as we go through this. We can look back for the wrong reasons and not see it for what it really is, tolerating sin. We can look back. It's how we look back. It's how we look at our past, brethren. It's what are we doing with it? What am I doing with it? Don Erickson standing up here in front of you. Am I tolerating sin? I question myself every day. Every morning when I put my feet on the floor, I thank God for this day and ask His blessing upon it. But am I going out into that world tolerating something? And I just prayed the other day, God, show me all of my secret sins. All of my secret sins. Galatians 5, 18, I think Corey read this last week. I'll just touch on it a little bit. Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. In fact, I'm almost certain he did. Galatians 5, verse 19, talks about the works of the flesh. The flesh is nothing but our lower nature cropping up. And where did that come from? It comes from our past. You might want to deny that, but I say it does. Our lower nature comes mostly from our past. That's why the Holy Spirit is necessary for us to come out of that world and to get rid of those sins that we have. Works of the flesh are evident in verse 19. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. I'll read them quickly. Lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Well, I won't even continue. There's too many. Nothing can be left out of that list. Nothing can be left out of it. That's the world we came out of. Where we can come here today and say, well, I had a very good upbringing. Or another one will come and say, no, I didn't have very good at all. Boy, did it do a number on me. Look what it did to me, my past. No, you just look at the works of the flesh. Our human nature, our lower nature, says this is what we were before God gave us His Holy Spirit. That's why this day is so important in the whole scheme of things. So important. We tolerated this in our past. This is the way we were. There was a song out that says "The Way We Were" by Barbara Streisand. And this is the way we were. I put in my notes here, the flesh, the weaker side. Spiritual element that lingers on from our past must be dealt with every day to grow in the future. And I brought that out earlier. And I will say that to the day I die. Anybody that's stuck in their past, not only will they have a hard time of life, not only will they have all kinds of problems, but they'll never grow in the future. I can talk about growing for an education. I can talk to young people and say, well, you know, if you do this, this, and that, and don't get stuck in your past, you've had a good upbringing. No, I could go on and on and on about that. No, we will never grow in the future. If there is one thing, just one, that a person says, that did it for me, that past tore me apart, one thing, and if that person doesn't get rid of it, it'll linger, and they will do nothing. From the past I came from, or my brother came from, there is no way we should have been in business for 50 years. There's no way we should have been in business that long. But there was part of our past that drove us on. That was a good part. But oh, the rest, look out. Look out for the rest. Mistake upon mistake upon mistake. So anyway, Romans chapter 6. Let's go into baptism now. See if that does anything. We're all baptized. Most of us are. Some of the younger are not. But in Romans 6, 1 through 6, we go into the subject of baptism and see, does baptism help us come out of the past? Does baptism help us? No, not really, not if we tolerate our sin, if we tolerate the sin that we come out of. Romans 6, 1 through 6, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? He's getting on to the subject of baptism now. We should not live any longer in that sin because we've been baptized. He goes on a little further here. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Spring holy days, Pentecost, days of unleavened bread, clicks in our mind. We're baptized into Christ Jesus. We're baptized into his death. Verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. So there is no excuse for us to say that we cannot come out of our path. We're buried with him, and I'm including this myself. We are buried with him in the water when we were baptized. Through baptism into death. That is, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We walk in a different way of life, brethren. It's not the way we used to be. Give me a break. We were not, when we were called, and baptism is not going to clear it all off. But it's going to help because we have the Holy Spirit then. We're spirit-led people, like Jim Frank said yesterday. We're spirit-led people. We walk in newness of life. A different world, brethren, a different world altogether from the world that we lived in. We walk in that newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. It angers me, printer, and I won't show it. It angers me to think one person could fall up like back in the Garden of Eden, and we have all have to deal with that now. We got to deal with our past. We got to deal with this. Now we got to deal with everything else, sin. He says we become slaves of sin. Shame on us for becoming slaves of sin. Shame on us for doing that. Verse 19, I speak in human terms. Because of the weakness of your flesh, For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness to holiness. So you get the picture. We start here before we're called and given the Holy Spirit, then we move up a little worse, and we move a little worse. And my son was asking me this morning, he said, how do you know that you have the God's Holy Spirit? He said, when does God move? When does he make his move? I said, well, I think God makes his move when we're so flat on our back that we have no place else to go. There are people here who have gone through that. So flat on their back, they have no place to go, and then God says, oh, I have something for you that you're going to be interested in. Well, I listened to Herbert Dunbar Armstrong and Garner Ted, and they did it. No, they did not do it. They did not. God did it. He gave us his Holy Spirit. See, he says now, reading on here, righteousness for holiness, so we take a whole turn and we are no longer stuck in the past. Verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, past, you were free in regard to righteousness. You know, you didn't worry about it. You didn't worry about righteousness. You were slaves. We were slaves of sin, brethren. That's what we were. We were slaves of sin. He says in the past. Verse 21, what fruit did you have? Then in the things of which you are now ashamed. Oh, pardon me, I get red in the face when I read that. What fruit do you have of that kind of behavior? What do you have? Think back. Think back. Don't go back. What he brought you out of. He brought you into this church. He gave you his Holy Spirit. He says you become holy. What more do we want? What more do we want? Verse 22, but now having been set free from sin, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God for that. And having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and in the end, everlasting life. Wow. Boy, now I'm very appreciative of that, and I pray and hope that you are appreciative of what God has done for you. When my son can sit there and say to me, well, I appreciate what God has done. I appreciate it very much. Because I shudder to think what would have happened. Baptism does not remove our past. It is up to us. What is in my past that I tolerate? It's a good question. Good question. Is it alcohol? Is it whatever it is? Sneaking a cigar once in a while or whatever. What is in our past that we're going to tolerate? What is there? Is there something we're hiding? Is there something that we don't think that God knows about us? Clean and I were talking this morning because I serenade her in the morning. I sing her some of the hymns. So she comes kind of bright-eyed, and that's all because of me. See, because I sing her these hymns, and she likes it. And then we comment on them afterward. But is there something that God sees in us that we don't see ourselves? Psalm 19, that's my favorite psalm. I'm not going to turn there. Show me my hidden sins. I got up yesterday morning, and it's God, show me my hidden sins. So when I walk out that door in the morning that I'm going to see something that I shouldn't be seeing or touching or handling or whatever it is a person does in their jobs or in their daily lives, I said, God, show me. Show me my sins. Pray that way when you pray. Get up in the morning and put your feet on the floor and just say, show me my secret sins. And you might be surprised at some of them you're going to see during the day. That's point number two. Don't tolerate sin. Number one was get out of the sin. Don't live in the past. Number three, here is a good one. Talking about living in the past. Do not blame others in our past for the way we are now. Please, do not do that, brethren. Do not blame other people that others, blame others in our past for the way you are now. I have heard for the last 50 years, probably, and I've round that off, people would say, oh, I am the way I am. My old man was a jerk. He was really bad. And I use the man as, because the man is the most important part of the family. My next sermon is going to be on harmony in the family. And that husband and man is the most important man there. And I use that as an example. Do not blame others in our past. We have all run across people that influence one way or another, and they set us off in a different direction, and we go out there and we bang around, and we come back on center. Do not blame other people for the way you are or I am. If I was to blame my dad, boy, I would be in bad shape. I would be in bad, bad shape. I mean, I won't go into detail, but I'll say this, that I called up my dad after I was called into the church and told him I loved him and I forgave him for everything that he had done. I forgave him. Because I had heard a sermon and it said, no matter where your parents are at, where they're at, no matter who you are, you forgive them as they are. You don't go around looking for things, well, I forgive you for this, this, and that. You just say, I forgive you. Like a weight was lifted off my shoulder. Do not blame others. If I would have blamed anybody, it would have been him. But all that is a crutch. I think it's just a crutch to say, well, you know, I can't do this because my old man was a bad guy. He was no good. He was this and that. And, well, look at me. Now look at the shape I'm in. You know, I lost the business after 30 years or 20 years. See, he was the one to blame for that. No, he wasn't. He's the one that told me don't go out there and dig in the ground because it'll break your heart. Because there's a water table down there. You got to get sewer in there. Oh, I was telling my wife, every day it rains, I'll go over to the YMCA and people will say, oh, it's going to rain today. Oh, it's going to rain today. I said, well, let it rain because I'm going back in my house, pull out my Kindle, and I'm going to read a book. And all those guys out there that are digging in the ground, getting their hearts broken, see you around, pal. It doesn't bother me at all. Rain doesn't bother me. I don't have to go out in it. But boy, when I did, oh, it was horrible. If it rained for 3-4 days, I didn't even go around the job. If I did, I was in a D8 cat, so I wouldn't get stuck. It was that bad, year in and year out. I wonder how I even did it. How did I get on that? Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 15. I'm getting down there now. We're getting close. Oh, I'm way early. Dave, we'll start church an hour early this afternoon. Okay, Colossians 3, verse 12 through 15. Verse 12, therefore as the elect of God, keeping in mind now, not blaming others, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering. My son and I were talking, we were going over this scripture this morning, talking about his past and how he can't blame anybody else, and now he has this going on in his life with one of his children, and how he has to handle that situation. Because these verses deal with family relationships. In verse 12 or verse 13, he says, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do, as Christ forgave you. But above all these things, put on love. Put on love, which is the bond of perfection. You know, the Bible, from one end to the other, that I've learned after 40 years of reading that Bible, the Bible, it is a Bible about unconditional love. Dispute that with me, but show me. It is a book about unconditional love. Because even when we were called and given the Holy Spirit, it was an unconditional love. We did nothing. We didn't have to move at all. God says, I'm going to yank you out of that world, and I'm going to show you a different world. What a blessing that is. What a blessing. Verse 14, above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, he was saying to me this morning, he says, that if you do it that way, Dad, he said, you'll have peace, won't you? And he said, you'll be thankful. And I said, right. That's what it says. So if we have a complaint or a gripe against somebody, be tenderhearted about it. Be forgiving. Be kind. No sense going on beat the guy in the head with a maul or anything, or a ball bat, and say, you hear so-and-so, you did this to me. No, we don't want to do that. We could all do that with somebody we've run across. All of us could do that. We don't want to do that. We want to be kind, have humility. Go to the person and say, hey, you know, I forgive you. Not that you're going to let him walk on top of you. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that we just back off and say, oh, I'm this Christian. Like Mr. Frank said, that's only mentioned 3 times in the whole Bible. It's a philosophy, like Corey and I were talking yesterday after church. It's a philosophy, that's what he was saying. But we don't just gloss over these things. If somebody is a bad person, stay away from them. That was my theory on it. If I didn't get along with a person, I just go the other way. I didn't try, whether it's a family member, try to talk to them. But when it comes to going out in the world, there's somebody I didn't like, just go the other way. I'm not going to hang around people like that, and I hope none of you do. I hope none of the young people hang around people they shouldn't hang around with. So that's point number 3. Do not blame others, do not tolerate sin, and do not live in the past. Number 4, and the last one, here's number 4, has everything to do with the day of Pentecost. Realize we are products of our past, but we can change with the help of God's Spirit. We can change with the help of God's Spirit. Ephesians 2, I think Corey read this one last week, might have quoted it. Ephesians 2, verse 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Keeping in mind now, we are products of this past, but we can change with the help of God's Spirit. Verse 1, Ephesians 2, you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. Just over and over, it's like a broken record. You were dead, you were dead, you were dead in sin. And he just keeps on with that. In which you once walked according to the courts of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The Spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom you also once conducted yourselves in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. You were no good in God's sight at that time. We were just human beings scattered throughout the earth and doing our own thing. Verse 4, but, he says, God, he says, who is rich in mercy. Boy, am I glad of that. Am I ever glad of that. He is rich in mercy. Oh, I like that statement. And rich in mercy because of his great love which he loved us even when we were dead in trespasses. Dead in trespasses. Dead in trespasses. Made us alive together with Christ. And we can raise our hand and say amen to that. By grace you have been saved. You want to be saved? You have to have grace. You have to be under the covenant of sacrifice. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 14. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 14. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 is talking about Peter here's same thing. It'll be the same thing along the same lines. I have four scriptures. They'll go over it and over it and over it. And when we leave here, we'll say we were dead, now we're alive. We were dead, now we're alive. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Bang, 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 all through the New Testament. In your ignorance, without the Spirit of God, do we get the message that it's with the Spirit of God that we don't have to do that? We don't have to stumble along? This is the Feast of Pentecost. We're all here today. We come from across town and in this part of town and that part of town. But we're sitting here today, and after listening to Jim Franks yesterday, talking about the church, my mind went back in time to the church, and then I saw Don Finger up there leading songs. My mind went back in time to the church. Nothing wrong with that. People say, well, you have a nice family. You seem to have a good marriage. Everything seems to be going good. You know what I say to them? Give God the thanks. And that's what I hope you'll do. Give God the thanks. Give God the thanks that He opened your mind, in my mind, to the truth of God. There's a girl over at the, young lady over at the YMCA the other day. She said, what do you got going for the weekend? Well, I have a holy day on Sunday. Oh. And I says, I have to give I don't know what I call it. I don't know. Maybe you can fill in the blanks, but I think I call it a sermon. She says, oh, that meant so little to her. But to me it did. Oh, I got this thing. I looked at my notes and I went over them last night and I went over them this morning. Now it's just like Corey says, I'm going to come up here and just chew up the lectern and just let it be known what we know in our minds about Pentecost and about the days of unleavened bread and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Feast of Trumpets. Don't ever let anybody take your crown. I tell you that's not true. Don't ever let anybody do that. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 and 14. Then I have one more scripture and I'm done. Boy, I'm done. Preacher of righteousness. Wow. My wife will tell me, you got to cool down. 1 Peter 1, verse 13 through 14. Therefore, oh, again, gird up the loins of your mind. Did I just read that? Did I just read that? Yes, I did. Scratch. 1 Corinthians 2, last scripture, 11 through 13, or this is next to the last. No, I have a couple more. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. See, I get so carried away, I forget where I am in my notes. You know, if I start jumping around, then you'll know you better get the goon squad up here and lock me down. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? We all have the spirit of man. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God. Again, is what we can use to change us, to get rid of our past. Now we have received the spirit of the world, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God. We have a spirit who is from God. Bingo. Is any clearer than that, where the Spirit comes from, where we can go to draw on, if we can get help to manage this world we live in? No, he says the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches us, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's what we do. Every year, spring holidays. Is it Passover? Spring holidays. Oh, here they come again. And the sermons will start coming. And they'll keep coming at us. By the time we get to Pentecost, and we need a break, because it's 50 weeks, you know, we need a break there, because it's coming at us now. It's showing us we're bad people before we are called. And that we have to repent. We have to take the blood of Christ. Take the bread. Don't forget those things. Don't forget them. 1 Peter 1, where I put in my notes here, the Holy Spirit is a vehicle God uses to give us a way out of our past. Said that 3-4 times. The Holy Spirit is a vehicle God uses to get us out of our past. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. 1 Peter 1, verse 1, 2 through 4. Verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you and for me. For me, it's there, it's set apart, sanctified in heaven. We have a spot there. We're not going out to Port Snelling and then go up into heaven from there. We don't do that. We don't believe that. Reserved in heaven for you, according to God's abundant mercy. He gives us that tool, the tool that we can use to get out of this trap that we've been put in by Satan and by in back in the Garden of Eden. Hope we never forget that. 1 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. I'll look. Yes, 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. This is my last scripture. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Again, God gave us that. We didn't ask for that, brethren. We didn't ask for this life that we've been put into. We didn't ask for that at all. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the human nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That have escaped the corruption in the world that is through lust. So I put an escape clause from our past through the divine nature of God. Wow! Can I repeat that and no get chills down my spine? Escape clause from our past through the divine nature of God, found in the Bible, guided by the Holy Spirit. Please do not forget that. please come to the different holy days on fire for the truth, on fire for the Bible, that you want to know that Bible and you want to understand it. So if something pops up in your mind that something happened in the past, you'll get rid of it easy. So I put my conclusion, we do have a past, but we also have a bright future. Concentrate on the time when we won't have to deal with our past. Amen to that.